across the ASEAN, only on Money FM 89.3.
A wobbly Wednesday for markets across the ASEAN today, with the SET index out in Thailand also feeling the pinch, and their year-to-date gains for 2019 also under threat given recent losses. What does the future hold for them, and especially given the changing landscape with regards to geopolitical trade relations and also some growth challenges facing the Thai economy? Well, today on Across the ASEAN, we are joined by Mr. Stephen Innes. He's the chief market strategist for the Asia-Pacific region over at AxiTrader, and he's actually in Bangkok, Thailand, to share his thoughts with us. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us. Good afternoon to you this Wednesday.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, JP. It's great to be chatting with you again.
Always a pleasure, Stephen. So, look, before we delve into Thai markets, and this could possibly involve sentiment out in Thailand as well, a lot of new things coming out of the sidelines of the NATO summit. Seems that President Trump has intimated that he is willing, or he is leaning towards perhaps striking a trade deal with China until not before the U.S. elections in 2020, which means we could be waiting 15 months before a possible trade deal is actually brokered forward, if he's to be taken seriously. Based on what you're seeing, at least out in Bangkok, how are markets in Thailand viewing this, and how are you viewing this also particularly? Is this changing your outlook for markets both in Thailand and globally as well?
You know, through the majority of these headlines, for the last 6 months, we're basically be putting our finger in the air to gauge the gust of the changing trade war winds. Now, today it's obviously gusting a little bit negatively, but as we've seen, history told us that the president tends to walk these things up the hill and walk them down just as quickly. We're referring to as negative headline bluster. So we're sort of waiting to see how this plays out. You know, President here was given a soapbox to stand on at the NATO summit. He's taken full advantage of it. He may be trying to express his America First trade policy and also America First strategy policy globally. So this is a good forum for him to do that. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, the crystal ball is pretty cloudy. Big issue here we have is this December 15th. Will we have a deferral in U.S. tariffs or not? That's the big question. You know, Fox News came out yesterday suggesting U.S. is still going ahead with these tariffs, and that was a big headline bomb. We saw the market overreact there. But that position's walked back a bit because we haven't heard any official announcements. So what do we do? I still think risk neutrality is the best position to be in, given headline risk is 100% unquantifiable. You know, I mean, let's face it, we don't know what's going to happen from day to day. However, you know, there's still that allure of the the big payout sitting at the other end of the trade talk rainbow, but I'm thinking that's less likely to come before year end. So pack up the books, put things away, and get back to family matters is the way I'm looking at things over the next few weeks.
Well, here's my other question for you, Stephen. The possibility of a trade deal not being struck until after the 2020 elections. As a strategist, do you have certain scenarios, or are you preparing for that possible scenario based on how you're probably approaching the market? Do you have any scenarios, perhaps, or analysis with regards to that?
Yeah, basically, what the key here is on the polling numbers. These are going to be the key inference points here, whether the president needs a big boost in the polling numbers. Right now, it seems that the impeachment is actually working against the Dems. Some of the latest surveys out, especially in the swing states, are showing that actually the president's getting treated favorably, whereas the Dems are getting untreated favorably. This is very similar to what we've seen historically when these impeachments have been raised. They seem to have more of a political nature than a factual nature. So that could be working in the president's favor. We've also seen a big surprising swing in the black vote in the U.S. Now, this is not insignificant. This is huge. This is a big factor for President Trump. And we have And he has Kanye West, of all people, to thank for that. Now, this isn't silly stuff. This is real. These are the kind of things we're actually going to be focusing on. So, yeah, it really comes down to the polling and really how much President Trump needs to win. I think these positive overtones coming from the poll are probably emboldened to put a little bit more pressure on China. And whether this is bluster, whether this is fact, we're still holding out that we may not get this December 15th. Tariff imposed, but assuming even that goes through, we're still dealing with the phase one. If the phase one gets pushed back to 2020, to readdress your question again, to post-2020 election, I think the polling data is going to be really key driver of risk sentiment between now and then.
All right, fair enough. We're still speaking to Stephen Innes, the chief market strategist for the Asia-Pacific region at Axie Trader. And finally, we get to Thai markets itself. As we know, very much affected also by these growing trade tensions. They are also one of the major exporting regions in the ASEAN space also. Recently, the government itself has rolled out stimulus measures in Thailand aimed at boosting the economy. And they've also made a call for Thai citizens to spend in U.S. dollars to help weaken the baht. Can you give us your thoughts as to whether or not any of this will actually help jumpstart the Thai economy, which has been going through a bit of a slower or sluggish pace when you compare their economic growth to some of their neighbors in the ASEAN space, Stephen?
You know, I think we'll start with the Thai baht. Obviously, it's having negative consequences on the travel economy, right? The travel industry, because mm-hmm. it's more expensive to travel here. So there's some thought that they want to readdress that, given the fact that travel and tourism comprises 25% of GDP. So that's one thing. Looking at the fiscal pump, it looks more set towards stabilizing growth as opposed to buttressing it. These are not huge measures right now, but looks like they want to sort of stabilize through the end of 2019 and perhaps give a little kickstart to 2020. I mean, this was all pretty much driven by a slower third quarter GDP, and that's really what's brought this around. I think the government's siding with the Bank of the BOT here in the sense that they don't want to lower interest rates. I think it's a really wise move by the BOT to keep the so-called powder dry for rainier days. The reason behind that is that looking at other countries, and they're seeing how ineffective lower interest rates are at stimulating the economy. So they're looking for the fiscal pump, and I think that's a good idea. As far as encouraging the citizens to start spending
in U.S. dollars.
You know, the balance of payment cushion supporting the baht is actually quite narrow. The baht needs only a small push to transition from a path of appreciation to modest depreciation on that front. So that could possibly come from more resident outflows amidst lower growth and lower interest rates if the Bank of BOT is so inclined, but also we're starting to see this shift, not only foreign flow exodus from the local market, but this is all through Asia, but we're actually also seeing Asian investors look outside of, not Asian investors, Thai investors look outside of Thailand for other investments. And this could also support that notion of a weaker Thai baht as we move into 2020.
Now, another thing that came out today in the news, at least in Thailand, was that the authorities there, or monetary authorities there, are saying that there has been interest, at least from foreigners, to list in Thai markets. Is this perhaps seen as a vote of confidence for markets moving forward in Thailand?
I think it's a vote of confidence because of the safe haven nature of the of the Thai baht. It's been very stable, and I think this is a very, very good environment because it eliminates a lot of currency risk. But, you know, it's interesting. We've got the Bank of Thailand complaining about having a strong, capital position right now because the reserves are so high. But, you know, realistically, this is appealing to outside investors. So it's a bit of a trade-off here. You know, what do? You're an export nation. You prefer a little weaker currency. You're also big on tourism. You prefer the weaker Thai baht to attract more, especially local tourists, Chinese tourists, for one, that have been shying away because of the more expensive cross rate to get over here. But, you know, all these things factor into the equation. I'm sure there's a sweet spot to be had. And I think right now the government and the Bank of Thailand are trying to find that sweet spot. But gradual incremental moves are probably more prudent than just sort of opening up the monetary taps to try to overtly weaken the Thai baht, which might not prove to be effective given the fact that the market's not really trading that succinctly off of an interest rate differential narrative on the currency markets right now.
Okay, and Stephen, another piece of news, I guess, that we want to look at that's out of Thailand right now. As you know, the best performer here in the Straits Times Index year-to-date is Thai Beverage, and their shares seem to have jumped because of news of a possible listing of their brewery unit or their beer unit here in Singapore sometime next year, which gave their shares a bit of juice this month. What are you hearing out in Thailand with regards to this possible listing of a Thai beverages brewery unit in Singapore, and how is this shaping as market sentiment out in Thailand with regards to their biggest beverage and beer maker?
You know, everybody loves a good beer story, don't they?
And especially in this heat, right?
Yeah, I think that's what we're starting to see right now. And, you know, this is a really strong company in the region. It's one of the jewels of Thailand. And I think this looks good also for Singapore. It could give Singapore a little boost because the IPO market's been quite dead. And this would be one of the biggest IPOs over the last 6 months. No, it depends. You know, looking at these things is more of an art than a pure science when it comes to where you're going to issue and how you're going to issue. Of course, you know, issuing stock would eliminate some of the debt that's on the books right now from the recent buy. Well, it was actually a year and a half ago where they bought a big Vietnamese brewery. So, you know, that's part of it. But, you know, it's also good in the sense that it does create some attention to the regional capital markets, and I think this should open some eyes from foreigners and possibly create some capital inflows, whether they're welcome or not. I think they eventually will create some capital inflows because beer, I don't think that's going to run out of favor anytime soon, especially in a hot climate like Thailand.
Okay, and finally, Stephen, before we let you go, all these insights have been very interesting. Can you give us your outlook for Thai markets as equities and also the baht in 2020?
You know, I think the global equity markets still look pretty good. It looks like we're having a bottoming in the cycle here. What I mean by bottoming in the cycle, that bottom in the economic cycle, we're starting to see better data coming out of China, and that really drives the bus when you know, you start looking at Asian economies in general. However, I think, you know, the big swing factor is still going to be that trade deal. Whether we get a trade deal sooner than later, that'll really determine how strong we move through into 2020. So that's the key factor. As far as the currency goes, I still think as trade wars continue to linger, I think the Thai baht, given its strong current account surplus, will attract capital flows in the region. And that's a problem for the central bank here because it is being viewed as a safe haven currency. However, if we do get the trade war out of the way, this may offer a little bit of relief for the currency. But still, you know, that current account looks pretty attractive and will probably continue to attract investment sentiment over the next year. However, I'm not expecting the same explosive gains that we had this year. We'll probably settle in towards current levels or perhaps a little bit weaker.
Okay, so that's Stephen Innes, the Chief Market Strategist for Axie Trader in the Asia-Pacific region. We thank you for your time and joining us today to share thoughts on the Thai economy and the markets there in Bangkok, here and across the ASEAN. Have a good afternoon, sir.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.